This is a career opportunity special for July 11th, 2010. Well, we're sitting here high above the lovely San Diego Bay, looking out of the Hilton Hotel here, and I am joined by fellow FIT member, Friends in Tech member, Chuck Tomasi. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Douglas.
Been a long time no see.
Well, virtually we've been seeing each other.
Virtually, yeah. That just that works somewhat.
Long time face to face.
Yes, definitely. Since the Podcast Expo left Ontario, I think, at that point.
07?
Wait a minute. We're not that old, are we? The reason I've driven all the way down to San Diego from Los Angeles, one, it's a beautiful town, but two, also to see Chuck and to talk with Chuck, especially about something that's been going on in his life, more importantly, something that's been going on in his career. So, Chuck, first of all, if you could just give us a quick kind of explanation of what you've went through in the last several months.
Well, I was let go from my company of 22 years, put it bluntly.
And that is not the first time I've heard that story.
It was a great ride, great company. They offered me a lot of opportunities of growth and technical development and managerial experience along the way. And over the last couple of years, there have been some changes on the top levels. And one of them, most recently in January, the new CIO came in and did a little bit of reorganization. And when the pieces of the puzzle were put back together, I was an extra piece. I do not know whether it was financially motivated, politically motivated, or what happened to it. I prefer not to dwell on what could have happened because there's really no value in that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So May 3rd, I was unemployed.
So I'm sure a lot of you out there listening have undergone similar experiences. I know I have myself, although not after such a long time being employed by the same company. Mine was only after 5 years with Walt Disney Imagineering. Had there been layoffs in the time you'd been there? Had there been reorganizations previously in the company while you'd been there?
There have. I mean, over the course of that period of time, there were some that were greater than others. One of the most surprising was slightly over a year before. The CIO and one of the directors were let go for reorganizational purposes, and IT now falls under the CFO of this company. So it comes from the same ultimate source up top, and when this new CIO was brought in a year after the other one, I mean, they wanted to make sure they were getting the right person. I thought we were off to a great start. We'd had a number of discussions. Things were going pretty great. We had come to San Diego in April for a conference for our help desk vendor. So it looked like things were pretty rosy. I even won an Innovation of the Year award for the company.
And I worked a lot. There's some big reward, and all of a sudden it kind of comes out of the backfield and blindsides.
It clearly was out of the blue. So when people say, were you surprised? Absolutely. You don't see it coming. I mean, who's going to tell you, oh, by the way, we're going to let you go in 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Unprepared, definitely not.
And that goes on to the next level of this, of course, is you've gone through this, a lot of turmoil, both personally and professionally. What happened? I think I'll give them a little cheat and say, you know, it's good news, and that's partially why we're talking to Chuck. But it seems like, from what I heard, you bounced back very quickly.
I bounced back, and a lot of that is because of the network. You really have to keep those connections alive. Part of it was winning that award, you know, going the extra mile, donating some extra time for that Innovation of the Year, making the contacts at the vendor, and also in some other external activities, went to a conference in March where I met a vendor, actually a partner of this company, and then I met him again at this conference in April. So I saw him in March, saw him in April. We went out to dinner, we started talking, and then I actually had a meeting with him, a conference call the day after I was let go. So I called up and I said, Wade, I've got to cancel our call. He said, what happened? I said, I'm no longer with, you know, XYZ. And he said, oh, here's what I want you to do. Get on the phone with this your old vendor and call this person. Here's their cell phone number. Then call this person. And here's their cell phone number. So I really didn't ever pursue a job, because within hours of going home and saying thanks to, you know, everybody, I had leads coming my way because of that network. I mean, I stuck out my hand at conferences and said hello and shook hands and exchanged business cards and kept in touch with those people, whether it was a colleague, a vendor, whatever, it made all the difference in building up those connections.
It sort of goes to what I tell people. You know, we did Career Camp Santa Clarita Valley yesterday, and one of the things I kept telling people all the time was, you don't know who your audience is.
Yep.
You don't know who is going to be responsible for your next job. And so your job was to go out and shake the hands and meet the people and go out to dinner and,
exactly.
and basically meet as many people as you can.
Some of them were internal to my old company because, again, you don't know where your next lead is from. And like you say repeatedly on career opportunities, get your name out there. Let them know what your brand is and what you stand for and what your values are. And then when the inevitable happens, and trust me, it's easy to get lulled into a false sense of euphoria when you're there for 20 plus years, you go, yeah, I could see another 20, and it would have been nice. However, don't fool yourself. When I got called in the conference room, I'm back from the conference, I'm working for a week, I sit down and I'm gonna pull up my Monday morning statistics for management and start making my report. My boss sticks his head in the door, he goes, Chuck, you got a minute to join me in conference room A, which is adjacent to my room. I don't think anything of it. It's just another, hey, you know, let's go talk something about somebody wants me, my input on something. No, walk in, it's just my boss, and the HR girl. And it's obvious what's going to happen. I went, okay. And I had the biggest smile on my face because of all this preparation I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years. I actually get to use it. It would have been kind of a bummer to study and never take the exam.
Right.
So it was somewhat of a relief. I do miss the people, of course. You know, there's all those old relationships and goodwill that had been built up over the years. But within hours, when you've got job leads, and then that turned into several ongoing interviews, phone screenings. There were a number of local and remote opportunities. The ultimate story is within 23 days I had a job offer that I took.
And there are people out there who would be, you know, just amazed to have a job offer after 23 days. We have some friends personally who were out of work for a year or more, and you know, for a variety of reasons. Some of them being that they were unprepared. It is, especially mm-hmm. after 20 years, I can understand you being lulled. I mean, I would be lulled. I think anyone would be lulled after that amount of time. You know, you really kind of have settled in with someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important to reinforce to people that the world is changing. It's, you know, we often, my wife and I often ask, you know, is the world going to change as much in our lifetime as it did in her grandfather's lifetime, who went from, you know, riding a donkey in the hills of Sicily to watching men land on the moon and the shuttle and everything else.
Amazing.
And the fact is, yes, there will be.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things that's really bringing that home. So now that you've transitioned,
mm-hmm.
One of the reasons you're here in San Diego is?
Well, annual sales kickoff meeting.
Okay.
I was here a month ago for initial 2 weeks of training just up the coast in Solana Beach. The company I'm with is ServiceNow.com. They're the help desk software vendor that we were using at my previous employer.
That's important. We hadn't touched on that.
Yes.
The fact is, that's how you met these people, is they were actually a vendor selling into your company.
You never underestimate the connections you have. I mean, it could be a vendor. It could be someone. It could be one of your customers. They're all over the place. Those opportunities are there, and you do have relationships at some level. And even to that extent, I know a lot of their customers as well. They are my colleagues. They are my peers in the local area. So now that I'm on board, one of my new clients is actually somebody that I was very well acquainted with. And you know, I called him up and I said, hey, Chris, got to let you know I'm no longer with XYZ. I'm with ServiceNow.com. He goes, oh, really? Changes our relationship a little bit, but I still know what he's doing. He now knows what I'm up to. And it really is a powerful thing to have those pieces in place.
It struck me when you first told me the story, it struck me as a little funny because you always, if you read Dilbert, which most tech geeks, of course, read Dilbert, Dilbert's relationships with his vendors are not the best, shall we say.
No.
And so you may not be thinking that way. I mean, sometimes we can get into thinking, bad thinking in that regard, but it is important that you look at all the alternatives, have you look at all the connections you've made. And in this case, it served you very well to be able to say, I've got the expertise. You know, it's the type of thing I at career camp always say, the two things you need to tell people are what you know, what you do, and how well you do it.
Exactly.
And you had already had that opportunity with these people. So I'm sure that had something to do with them saying, well, wait a minute. We need talent, and talent just arrived at our doorstep. Okay.
And trust me, you got to get out of your comfort zone. This is to stick my hand out and start saying hi to people was not my natural tendency. And like you said, with vendors, you think, oh, they're just out for your money. They want to get your business. It really is an awkward situation at first. But when you get comfortable with, hi, I'm Chuck. This is what I do. I help people implement X, Y, Z and do thus and such. And you can start having those conversations. A lot of them are not out to get your money initially. They want to know what you do, what your pain points are, and understand your business before they start trying to sell you a product. So get to know them, they get to know you, and if boom goes the dynamite, now you've already started talking to these people. Mm-hmm. They go, hey, you know what, I need a Java developer, or I need somebody who's strong in this or can help out with that. Are you interested in even a part-time situation to see how it works out, or a contract position? For me, I got real lucky. I get to work from home.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big change for you. We can talk a little bit about that, too, yeah. Curtis. Now you've spent 20-plus years in the corporate world, in the office.
In the Dilbert world.
And now you're kind of entering my realm a little bit of the work from home. You're not working necessarily for yourself, but you are working out of your home office. And how is that feeling?
It's a bit of a lifestyle change. I'll be honest. You used to have to plan the laundry, have to plan the yard work, have to plan the family activities around the 8 to 5 and the weekend schedule, and when are we taking this trip and that. It can be a bit distracting. I'll get done mm-hmm. with an hour and a half long conference call with a client, get up and refill the water and get distracted and go, oh, I should change the laundry too. And before I know it, laundry turns into, oh, the dehumidifier needs emptying. And I've spent 20 minutes and go, wait a minute, that was work time. So I have to be a little more regimented and disciplined. Some things, you know, you can rationalize and go, well, yeah, some people take 15-minute smoker breaks. I'm doing a laundry break.
You can end up shaving the yak, as they say.
Yes.
Yak shaving, yeah. If you're interested in that story, look up yak shaving on the internet. You'll find the story, I think. Seth Godin relates it at one point. I for me, it's worked out very well because I tend to have that. People often say I don't have focus because I do so much, but the fact is I have what I call serial focus. Mm-hmm. I'll be in an hour and a half long call, and I have to do something else. I've got to go change the laundry. I've got to go turn on the watering for the garden. I've got to do something yep. just to clear my head
yes.
before I can go back in and do the deep dive again into the next call and the next and the next. I deal with a lot of home computer users and small businesses, and there sometimes I'm on the phone for an hour and a half, yep. stepping them through something. And after you get to the end of one of those calls, and you're a little bit cooked. So I find it helps, you know, to be able to have a little bit of, as long as you don't go, you know, overboard and
exactly.
and down the rabbit hole, as some people will say. How does your family adapting to all this?
They're wonderful. My wife is still at the same company. We had been there. She's been there 20 plus years. My brother's also at the same company that I was at for coming up on 26. So, I mean, there's some longevity there. And again, it was easy to get lulled into that. Mm-hmm. I've got two teenage daughters at home. So they're adding to the distractions a little bit right now while they're off for the summer. But when they go back in the fall, I'm sure it'll be a little more focused.
Oh, I find that definitely changes. I have a 12-year-old. And yeah, summer is the time where things get a little more flexible and stuff like yep. that. But yeah, all of a sudden fall will come around and be like, it'll take you a little while to get readjusted. Because the house will be a lot quieter during the day.
And you're like, I'm sure.
Wait a minute, what's that strange noise I'm hearing from
me
the furnace?
Me and the cat, and that's yeah. it.
Cats can be good conversational. If there are days sometimes.
But I've got, the initial idea was to use my podcasting studio as an office as well. But it's just so beautiful in the summer, I have to sit out in the sunroom.
That's what you're supposed to do. If you're working from home, a lot of people don't. They really tie themselves into an office that's very much like where the office they may have worked before. I'm a very big person. If it's a nice day, the Wi-Fi reaches into the back garden. Thank yep. you very much. I have my power. I have my Wi-Fi. I have my cold, frosty beverage. I'm much more productive out there
yep.
than I would ever be sitting at my desk inside, hunched over my desktop computer. So I do tell people, you know, that is not Some people can feel that that's a little too much. It's like, oh, there's almost too much of a reward. It's like, no, that's why you're doing it. That's why you have to take advantage of those things and take advantage of the scheduling too.
Yeah, and like you said, the scheduling, I had a discussion with my supervisor while I was still down here in June, and he said, how are you at managing your time? I said, I'm a time Nazi. I don't watch the clock, but if you're worried whether or not you're going to get work product out of me, you just assigned me a client in the UK. I will be up at 4 in the morning if they want to have a 10 a.m. conference call in London. And you know, if it comes to I'm done at 3 in the afternoon, no worries. On the other hand, if there's somebody on the West Coast that wants to have a 5 p.m. West Coast conference call, I'll be there for you as well. So I'm willing to manage around that, and he understands that because it's mobile and the ubiquity of Wi-Fi and the cell phone and all of this, it's a global economy. You're going to have to adjust here and there, and the give comes with the take as well.
I found, you know, with my son, it's just been so nice to be able to, between my wife and I, someone is always able to pick him up from school. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're even available in the day to go see, you know, a concert during the day that they're doing or something, you know. And the fact is, it's me and a bunch of women. because you know, most of the dads are in their corporate office, you know, yeah. And a lot of the women are too. But, you know, that's always been the joke. I raised my son for the first 3 years. I was a stay-at-home dad for the first 3 years, so I got sort of used to that. But we've always found that to be just a dramatic difference in parenting when you have the flexibility of time saying, well, you know, I have that conference call at 5 this afternoon, so I can take an hour and go do that. And it's not going to impact what I'm doing because I've already got this done, that done. Now I can, you know, I can move my schedule around a little bit.
Right, right.
And it's not like you're slacking. Some people, when they first get into it, they go, oh, I'm slacking too much. And I find actually people who work at home initially can actually overwork. They feel that they have to be working all the time to prove that they're actually doing something. And eventually that, you know, that settles down a little bit. But definitely if you out there are listening and are doing something like this, you know, there is a part of this is to take some time for yourself and to make that schedule work for you. I'm lousy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was a guy in the break room every day making another pot of coffee at 3 in the afternoon, you know, double strength decaffeinated coffee, because that's just my low point of my day. Now I do other stuff at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I, you know, work really hard in the morning, and I tend to work late at night. That's mm-hmm. the other thing that I do. Mm-hmm. A lot of writing and other, you know, non-people work, I will sometimes stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning doing that. That's the way I work. So it is up to you to figure out, you know, what the best schedule is for you.
Yeah, there was an interesting article on one of the RSS feeds that I came across this last week, rather timely for me because as I'm adjusting to this lifestyle. It was titled something like How to Avoid Loneliness While Working at Home. And it included things like get out, go to the bookstore, go to the coffee shop. You can still get Wi-Fi and get your work done there, but at least you're among people. I don't suspect it will happen until the kids go back to school, but I'll start to feel that eventually. I know that when I get to the end of the day and, you know, my daughters are over their friend's house, there's a little bit of it there. I start to look forward to getting to the karate class at night. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a social life. Make a Skype call, see a face, you know, talk to your peers, talk to the customer, mm-hmm. and get that interaction. So there's a number of things you can do to sort of offset that. It's different than the cube farm where you can walk around and see a couple hundred people in a day.
I call it a change of venue. There are just days when I've been working. I just know I've been in the office too long. And I'll go up to the local coffee place. I've made friends with, you know, the baristas at the various places. I tend to, if I'm in the neighborhood, typically I have clients around my favorite places. And of course, oh, well, I had to be there for the client, right? I didn't need to stop in and have a little coffee afterwards. That definitely gives me that one. Because there are days when I'm feeling like I need interaction. There's days I'm feeling I don't really want interaction. Right. I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm buried in work or whatever. But it definitely has a place to be able to, even for just a short period of time, having a place you can walk to and walk back is, I find, a great asset for me.
Beautiful.
Then that's even a smaller break. It's not like even going there to work. You're just walking up, say hi, have a little chit-chat, have your coffee, and come back, and all of a sudden you're refreshed and you're ready to go back to
work.
Right,
right.
Well, thank you so much, Chuck. I'm sure people get so much out of this because, frankly, it's just something we're all facing these days. One of the best things that I realized I never had to face again when I left the corporate world was being laid off. As my wife is fond of saying, no one is ever going to come to me and say, hey, you don't have a job today. You might do it to yourself, but you know, no one's going to do that to you anymore. So I think you'll enjoy this change quite a lot, at least I hope you will. And I think what you've helped to share with others will hopefully enlighten some of the listeners out there. And you know, give them a little bit of hope, a little bit of direction in something that may be happening to them.
Stay positive. That's the number one thing I can recommend. It, right up there with be prepared, obviously.
You know, keep if you are prepared, you can be positive.
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. It really is. You know, once you've got that network built and you keep it up and you're backing up your contacts to some cloud source or a CSV on your thumb drive, whatever it is, because when they come and call, they're going to take your laptop and likely your cell phone, and now where's your network contacts? You know, you've got to be doing those things. Keep your resume sharp, and then when the inevitable does happen, it's a lot less stressful, you will be positive, and you can go forward. A lot of people said, boy, I can't believe you lost your job 2 days ago, and you're so positive. Yes, I'm looking forward to what's coming next. No matter what the interaction is, because who wants to talk to a gloomy Gus? Who's going to hire a gloomy Gus? Word gets around about that stuff. Yeah. So stay upbeat, stay positive. Even if, you know, in the back of your mind you're going, oh, I wonder what happened and who stabbed me in the back and blah, blah, blah. Get that out of your head and say, I am really looking forward to what's next. I don't even care if you can help me or not. I appreciate you lending me your ear. Yeah, that means the world to me.
It's the old fake it till you make it sometimes. And you just got to do that sometimes. Yeah. You have to find, you know, I'm bad at that. I'm bad. I'm fairly emotional, and so my moods can affect me quite deeply. But, you know, the important thing is recognizing that and recognizing that, yes, there's something, you know, troublesome going on, but there's also all this other good stuff going on and trying to balance that out.
Exactly.
So now you do... For all the listeners out there, you do a ton of other stuff besides just your career that you have. Where can people find out more about you?
Probably the easiest place is chucktomasi.com. T-O-M-A-S-I.
And Chuck does several different podcasts, yep. Both in partnership with a buddy and also on his own. Now, one I listen to, I'll put in a plug right here, the Gmail podcast. Yeah, I've drunk the Google Kool-Aid in all regards. I'm a Google Calendar, Gmail, all those tools user. So I do listen to that one quite religiously to always find out what's new with those products and how I can take better advantage of it. So thanks again, Chuck.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
This has been Career Opportunities with Douglas E. Welch. DouglasEWelch.com/career. I'd love to hear what's happening in your career. Send questions and comments to career@welchwright.com or post them as comments on the website. You can also call our listener line at 818-804-5049. If you're listening directly from the website, why not subscribe? It's free and you'll receive each new show automatically. If you enjoy Career Opportunities, there are many ways to show your support and all are appreciated. These include a tip on our online tip jar, a review in the iTunes podcast directory, and others. You'll find a link for these and more on the website.